Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Fellowship Baptist Church. Great to be with everyone again. Of course, friends of the ministry, we're going to again continue our sermon series in the book of Judges. Today, we're up to Judges chapter 6, where we start to read about the story of Gideon. Judges chapter 6 is loaded with information, and we want to set up the chapter. So today, before we get to Gideon himself, we'll go through the first 10 verses to find out what the subject matter is for the chapter. And we also want to continue to make the comparisons of why this is a perfect book for today. Is that the church in America, in Europe, around the world, everyone's suffering, but especially in formerly Christian nations of European heritage, they are the biggest apostates. They're falling away. They're exchanging God for atheism or Luciferianism, whatever they choose. But especially today, they are breaking away from the faith that built our civilization, the one that we currently live in. Now, we know from the Bible and from history, when a people exchanges their gods, switch their gods out, especially the God of the Bible, when you try and backstab the living God and break his covenant that he's made with you, you will be destroyed. Without repentance, you'll be destroyed. So that's the situation we're in. Now, for Christians, it's not for us to be despondent or apathetic. There are things we can do, and I've been explaining how you need to band together with other Christians. As the old saying goes that our Lord taught us, don't cast your pearls to the swine. And the time for bothering with people who don't want the Lord, that's not the time to do that. You give witness to everyone at least once. We are not to be the frozen chosen and not speak to people about the gospel. But now is not the time to waste with family, friends, acquaintances that don't want to hear what you have to say concerning God and the gospel. You need to find people that are faithful Christians that are awake, that are taking the situation seriously, and you need to form friendships, partnerships now. And the time for preparation will soon come to an end, and the crisis of our collapsing culture will happen fast. And this is, you see it, it's worldwide. And people latch on to communism because communism promises those who don't have everything. And all communism is a scheme to destroy a nation. You take a group of people that's upset, rightfully so, and you exploit that. So we saw this in Russia, we saw this in the French Revolution, we see it now being attempted in America, what we've done around the world. The British Crown has used this technique to take down other monarchies, other royal families. You get people whipped up into a frenzy as if just stealing everything and violence and overthrowing the government will solve all your problems. And then you get the situation we've had in all of these communist nations and now soon coming to South Africa, as you get starvation, famine, and communism works for maybe a year or so because you just steal everything everyone has. But communism is a movement of ignorance and violence. They just know how to complain. They don't have any solutions. So it eventually burns out the place wherever it exists. Well, what does this have to do with the book of Judges? Well, everything. Because we see that over and over again, 12 times, God's people tried to replace him with something that they thought would let them have more fun, have more freedom, and it always brought them to the brink of destruction. And the only thing that brought them back was having the heart to repent, to admit we screwed up, we never should have betrayed God, and we need him to deliver us. And that's the situation that the church is in today. And me being an American and you being Americans, I mean, that's our main focus. The gospel deals with the people that you're working with at the time. So in our situation, as I spoke about almost 10 years ago, I had preached a sermon, Warning for America, which explained a lot of that. Communism never died. They played dead, and they've spread everywhere. And that's why your former KGB, big shot, Mr. Putin himself, is in control in Russia. We have the other communist loyalists in charge in China, and the European Union is filled with former communists, many of them directly from East Germany, just like Angela Merkel and another guy, I forgot his name. But the point is, they're everywhere. They're going to attempt this takeover. The church, the visible church, including evangelicals, gave in a long time ago. And so now we, the regular people, have to band together to keep the Christian faith and our Christian culture, which comes from that, alive. And it's a culture of life, and we follow the commands of Christ, and we can be encouraged, because with the little power we have, we still have Jesus Christ. So this is not to make people upset or depressed. It's to get you ready to be able to survive the troubling times. And if I wanted to just speak to everyone every week and just lie to make you happy, I would have went into politics, or I would have been one of those, you know, Christian TV ministers. But I'm not here to do that. I love you. I care about you. And we need to care for one another, and that means telling the truth. So let's pray, and then we'll get into our sermon again for this week. Almighty God, the living God, we thank you, Lord, that we can call on your name. I pray, Lord, that the sermon as well as the worship would be pleasing to you. We thank you, Lord, so much for all that you give us, that through all this trouble, you've taken care of your remnant, and we have food to eat and clothes on our backs and a place to sleep. And we're so grateful, Lord. We know that many times it's more than what your own son had when he walked the earth. So we're grateful. We ask, Lord, that you forgive us all for our sins in thought, word, and deed. And we thank you for the righteousness of your son that puts us in a right relationship with you. I pray, Lord, that all my words would glorify and please you, and that they would glorify you only, and that we would have from your word, Lord, we would read about real solutions and answers for the problems that we face, as opposed to the constant complaining that we hear about how bad the situation is, instead of us focusing on what little part can we do in being the remnant that makes it through this chaos and the collapse of our civilization. So we ask, Lord, that you bless us today, keep the distractions to a minimum. And we thank you, Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So this is part 15 in the sermon series, What's Wrong With You People? That's plain talk. A lot of times when we're frustrated with a certain group of people, we might see something on TV, we might read it in the newspaper, and we see people doing things that make no sense. They're destroying themselves, and it's a common saying, what's wrong with you people? When you address the situation, well, that's how God feels with us over and over again, unfortunately, is he's given us everything we need to succeed, all the tools. He's given us the technology, the knowledge. He's given us the template to build a beautiful church and community and schools and government, everything around that. And we blow it again and again. And for the little bit of restrictions, the rules that he places upon us, we throw that away for pleasure and then have thousands of laws and many tyrants that hold us down instead of just being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going through one of those moments now. So if you turn to Judges chapter 6, we're continuing in this book, and we continue to go over the cycle of sin and understand how it works. And once again, we are going to look at the first 10 verses just to set up the book, see what goes into this mess that God's people get themselves into. And the title of today's sermon is The Church Fled When None Pursued. And we'll get into why that's the title for today. So let's look at God's Word. Let's read Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, and see what the Lord is telling us. So here we have, after Deborah and Barak deliver God's people, they fall into sin again. Like many of us, we don't learn our lesson. We're stiff-necked at times. But once again, God will show his mercy. So we're told, Judges chapter 6, starting at verse 1, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass, for they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because the Midianites and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." So we see that God's people need separation when it comes to the faith and to the church. We do not welcome diversity of beliefs. We have one God, one Lord, one baptism, one faith. God was trying to show the Israelites this. For you to be a successful people, you have to drive the other people out of the land, and anyone you let into the land, you get them used to that. You get them used to following my laws and my commandments, not the commandments of their gods. Now, why would God do this? And God in the Bible refers to other gods with a little g because they're really demons. They're not the living God. So we see that in the beginning, just handling verse 1, we see that the covenant curses are coming into effect. And that's the first point in our sermon. You need to know about Leviticus chapter 26, Deuteronomy chapter 28. These are the covenant books. And this hasn't ended with the New Testament. This is a description of how you know when you, as God's people, or your nation that you live in, is under judgment, because you see these same symptoms all the time. That's why I could be a real prophet by knowing my word and speak about the EU crumbling years ago, America on its deathbed years ago, not because I have any special mystical powers, but because I trust God and his word, and I don't look at the newspaper and try and guess what's happening. So I know that when a nation abandons God and rejects the Ten Commandments, its days are numbered. It will not last. And especially a nation with different ethnic groups in it, if we don't have peace through Christ by having one law and a common culture at least, it turns into tribalism. And that's what you see happening around the world. And our European brethren, our leadership, are so arrogant that they think because of blockchain and algorithms and supercomputers that they're somehow going to defy the natural laws that God has set in motion. And they're going to be able to keep this whole mess together without the Christian religion, without the Lord Jesus Christ as King. And it's not going to happen. So we see that this is exactly what God's people did in the book of Judges again and again. So the first point, just working with Judges 6, chapter 1, powerful verse. The book of Judges once again illustrates God's covenant sanctions concerning his people. We don't punish anyone anymore. We're complete humanists, even in the church. So no one gets in trouble for anything. No matter what type of pervert you are, what type of violent person you are, money-hungry person, somehow we'll defend you. It's really not a sin. It's okay. These are the things we do. But that God will sanction you as a person, as a people, when you break his law, when you disgrace his name. And this is what we have happening. So that's why in verse 1 we're told, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. So the punishment is starting. Then it goes to describe the punishments. And what did Israel do that was so bad? Well, God's people embraced the culture of the world, and it never changes, and practiced sodomy, abortion, euthanasia, adultery, pedophilia, usury. All these things are anti-life. When God gives us laws, it's not because he hates us. It's because he loves us. He wants our children to live. That's why he preaches against child sacrifice and abortion. He wants the old people who have raised their families, an older woman, an older man. They've paid their dues. They've worked hard in the church and life with their families. They should be able to enjoy those, quote, golden years, not be put to sleep by their children in the hospital because they want the inheritance money, right? So we're not into euthanasia. Everything that God does promotes life. Be fruitful and multiply. That's what God constantly says in the commandments. Now, to be fruitful is not just having a bunch of children. It's having children and building a family and a community that honors God, that promotes more life. That's why we're against these things. So obviously, a sexual perversion doesn't promote life. None of these things. So when God's people embrace those things, especially the child murder, it's over. Judgment will come. So there are no innocent nations when God pours out his wrath. If you think about what God is doing in America, what God is doing around the world, and formerly Christian nations, no one is free of guilt. And yeah, it's a conspiracy, but then again, it's not, because it's still from God's hands. How else could he shut down the evil going on in society, going on in schools? How could he separate those who love him and those who don't, unless he allowed this major calamity with the virus, with the financial destruction to be placed upon the world? So, and that's why we're preparing now, because God's judgment takes a while to come, but once it comes, it falls like a hammer, like a war hammer, and it smashes the nations. So we prepare. We prepare for God's sanctions and what he continues to do. Now, go to Leviticus chapter 26, which should be read constantly. We're going to see what the sanctions are. God explains it. It's in the contract. You know, when you get into trouble, if it's in a legal situation, one of the things you learn real fast is ignorance of the law is not an excuse. You won't be declared innocent because you killed someone in a certain way, you weren't sure if it was illegal or not. Ignorance is not a defense. So if you break the law, you break the law. God publishes these laws, these commands, the same way Jesus Christ did in the New Testament, so people know why they're judged. No one can say, I don't know why this is happening to me. Well, once you educate yourself, you'll know why. So what was God doing with Israel? Let's read it. This was given to the priestly class. This is Moses speaking in the book of Leviticus. And it was warning the people. The people needed to be taught that God is not like insane parents today who hate their children and don't discipline them. God loves his children and he disciplines them. So what are we told? Well, God is very plain. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, sound familiar? Consumption, and the burning arc that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. That's the title of today's sermon. We are a wicked church, the visible church, and that's why we are getting the living daylights beat out of us. Because we backed off on all the commands we were supposed to teach and told people they were saved no matter what. It's just an emotional feeling, and you could be saved now and not have to change, you'll have a changed life at all. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins, and I'll break the pride of your power, and I'll make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield their increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number. And your highways shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed, see, reformation, it's a biblical thing. You have to change sometimes. The church has to change. And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. So the sanctions get worse and worse the longer you take to repent. Just like sin in your individual life, it's the same thing in the community and in the nation. The longer it takes for you to come clean and finally be humble and say, Lord, I screwed up, I'm sorry for my rebellion, the worse your sin gets. The lie becomes greater, the consequences become greater. So we see it starts with sickness that God sends, now it's full-blown invasion and death. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins, and you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat, and I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies shall dwell therein, which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. So God will beat us up so badly that even our enemies are going to say, wow, these people were really disciplined. Yes, because we're held to a higher standard. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lie desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest, and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when ye dwelt upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth, and they shall fall one upon another as it were before a sword when none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. You want to cut God out of your nation? You want to cut him off? Well, he'll cut off you, and then you'll understand just how blessed and how protected you were. That it wasn't your military that protected you. It wasn't your government. It wasn't you. It wasn't your wise financial investments. It was God. And he was being merciful. But instead of acknowledging him, you wanted to declare yourself God. And this is what happens at times with God's people. So continuing in our book, and then we'll make our second point, we see that after this, we have God's people experiencing the full weight of this judgment. And this is the same thing the modern church is going through, and what the postmodern church especially has brought to America and to Europe. So why are we suffering? We can lay it at the doors of a faithless church, because we were not the salt to preserve the people we needed to be. So the modern church has declared all people innocent without repentance or sanctification. Modern evangelicalism has failed to teach the whole counsel of God. This is how God's people become corrupt, like in the book of Judges. So we went soft with the gospel. We didn't want to make any trouble. We wanted to be liked by everyone, even as they were becoming wicked. And we feared men more than God. And that's why the church has no significance today. And we went from wishy-washy, you know, Billy Graham, you'll get saved in 30 seconds. And then after his crusade, if you're a Jewish person that felt something, you get sent to a rabbi. If you're a Catholic, they would send you to a priest after the crusade. They loved Mormons. They loved all these people. And his son Franklin, unfortunately, is a disappointment and a loser, the same way he was. But he does enjoy his, zombie donuts or something like that, at that occult donut place. So they're all with the establishment. They all made Christianity a mockery. And by kissing the feet of the government and the leadership, we're paying for it now. And we need to understand why we failed. Same reason why the Israelites failed. So this judgment you see around you, don't be shocked, don't be surprised. More of it's going to come. But if you are that remnant, we'll make it. Don't be so fearful that, like the people around us now, you know, they hear the sound of a leaf, they shake. If they see someone without a mask, they shake. Everything makes them shake. The stock market going up and down, they're petrified. Let's not be like that. Let's be strong in the Lord. What should make you shake as a Christian is to not be faithful to God and to his people. What should make you shake as a Christian is when you surrounded yourselves with plastic people, fake Christians, and you didn't look for that real community or real believers and reach out to them in real life to be with God's army, to form that network. And that's what we're trying to do here. So we are in the middle of God's judgment around the world. Apostate Christian nations are suffering covenant curses, including invasive immigration, pestilence, and financial ruin. You cannot escape the hand of God. And for all you people that think you don't need anyone else because you have plenty of Bitcoin or stocks or money in the bank, when things collapse, you can't eat your Bitcoin. Your money's not going to help you in a desperate situation. You need Christian fellowship. You need other people that are serious. That's why don't waste your time. Don't cast your pearls to the swine with those who aren't going to listen. Look for serious people. Look for other people that want to be that remnant, even if they're a different denomination. Even if they're not in your little clique. They love Jesus. They know what's right and what's wrong. And those are the people you need to search for. And that's what Fellowship Baptist Church, that's what we're all about, is keeping each other informed and supporting one another. So, we're told, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. God's people were so weak and so sinful, they literally had to run to the hills to survive. But you can't escape God's judgment without repentance. So what happened? And so it was when Israel had sown, the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou came unto Gaza. And left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Uncontrolled migration, which is basically an invasion. Immigration in the Bible, when people came during a famine, they didn't take from you what didn't belong to them. You offered them food. You offered them some type of work. They had to live under God's laws, not their God, under the Christian God's laws, even in the Old Testament. And then when the famine passed, they left. This is what these Christian liberals and fake leaders don't tell you. Invasive immigration and invasion was never welcome. The people came and then left. There were no Methodists and Catholics and Baptists and Pentecostal liberals at the border feeding the Amalekites and the Canaanites to help them invade Israel like we have today, teaming up with the government to invade us. That's not godly immigration. Yes, the stranger is to be respected in the land. There's one law for all of us, but he respects God's law. He doesn't come as a Muslim or as a Jew or as an apostate Christian or a Hindu into the land and then have all of our laws changed where we can't speak about certain verses in the Bible anymore. We don't do that. God never asked us to do that. But that is judgment. That's you being foolish and playing God and thinking you can save people. You save people through the gospel, not just throwing food and medicine at them without asking them to change, without asking them to live under God's law. So this is why the Israelites were in trouble. This is part of the punishment. A strange people will invade your land. They will eat up your food. Now, in modern terms, we might not understand this, but how about my pension people, my Social Security people? How do you feel as we're being bankrupt because someone jumps across the border and gets health benefits and gets welfare and other handouts, and the citizens are denied this? How do you feel when all of these benefits, billions of dollars, are being spent by the federal government and by fake Christian charities to take care of these people, and our veterans die? And there's not enough money for medicine for our elderly in the country. And it has nothing to do with race or ethnic group. It's basic law. What's fair and what's right. If someone has lived here, regardless of their skin color, if they lived here and paid into the system, obviously they should be able to get something back before we give it away to uncontrolled immigration. But because we were happy going to fake churches, this is what we have now. They have betrayed us. The American churches are in on the invasion. They're in on it. They are completely weak, and they're going to help fulfill God's judgment. And they will also be crushed at the end for their treachery, because they're not doing it in the name of Christ. They're doing it for the money. These NGOs, these nonprofit corporations, they want money. Their church is dying because they haven't given the real gospel. The children, the young people, don't want to attend their church anymore. So like a bunch of crusty old crooks, they team up with the government for these schemes. Or there's four people in the church, but they have 19 missionaries around the world. Their church became a tax-exempt shelter, not a place to worship God. And just like in the book of Judges, God will judge you. You break his law, he'll judge you. That never changed. You can't just carry the name Christian and not follow Christ's commands. You know, a command means a law, by the way. So you got to laugh when you have preachers say, well, we're not under the law. Jesus didn't give us laws. Learn some basic vocabulary. A command and a law from God is the same thing. So we have laws to live by, or we will be judged. And this is what's happening. So we are in the middle of it. And this pestilence, financial ruin, it will continue. But remember, you be courageous, because God has to smash his enemies. And sometimes his enemies are his own people. And you stay faithful. You don't be afraid. You organize with that remnant, and you'll make it. Just get serious about it. Reach out to God and reach out to his people. last point we want to make. So the judgment came. Now, this is the important part we need to remember. This is the beautiful God that we have. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent the prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land, and I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods, little g, of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. So God, when you repent, he does listen. So God's people must focus on their own survival as his people and repent now. Don't worry about all these other groups that don't love Jesus Christ. You worry about you for now, and you being a faithful remnant, take care of your own first. We're commanded that way in the Bible. We have to take care of our brethren. So again, don't waste your time on people that hate God. You give witness to them once, they don't listen, that's enough. You tried. Focus in this time of calamity on helping your brothers and sisters in Christ. Make those connections now. So God's people must focus on their own survival as his people and repent now. Judgment starts the house of God. We must beg for forgiveness. Please, God. Please, God, forgive us. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. We know we haven't been faithful, but we want to make a true confession, and we want to be right with you again, that we haven't been living as your people. This is what needs to be heard from the church. Not happy, happy, joy, joy, right? So we must beg for forgiveness and rededicate ourselves to the laws of Jesus Christ. God will deliver his remnant if we call on his mighty name. You can be a miserable Christian and still make it into heaven. That's not the point. Your goal should be to be a mature Christian and get into heaven. And this modern church thing where, hey, just get someone to confess for Christ, and then leave them alone, leave them undiscipled, let them not have to worry about sanctification and living a holy life for the Lord. Big mistake. So the church fled when none pursued. The church, the visible church, is being smashed, and it deserves it, and it's going to continue. And God cannot revive Satanism. And what you're being taught in these churches is basically Satanism. Everything is sensual. Everything is focused on the individual. And that's it. We have no group identity. Our heart doesn't bleed for our brothers and sisters anymore the way it should. And we see this collapse. But be faithful. You will be part of the group that helps to rebuild it again. So don't lose heart. Learn these parts of Scripture so you know how to speak to people. Now, for those who think the covenant sanctions are gone, let's turn to Romans chapter 2, and this will be the last text we look at. So our great rabbi, our great teacher in the New Testament, Paul, who sat at the feet of Gamaliel and then had to retrain his brain and his theology once he was encountered with Jesus of Nazareth, let's listen to what he says. Paul never said you could be lawless. He just said, following the law, every little bit of the ceremonial law wouldn't make you righteous. No one can fulfill it perfectly. But there's still a law. There's still commands from God. And when you don't do them, you'll die. And if you love Christ, you'll respect his law. We're not legalists. We're saved through justification. We're justified by faith. Because Christ is the only one that could perfectly fulfill the law. But doesn't mean we throw away. Right? You're not saved to be lawless. We should all know that by now. So Paul says, Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges. For wherein thou judges another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things, and doest the same? that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance? So when God is merciful to us and destruction doesn't come in one day, don't mock him for not doing it. Turn to him before it comes. Maybe it'll be halted in the middle of a time of judgment. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Scary for all of us. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. So be one of those people. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Even if you're not a Christian, all men had the law written on their hearts from the time of Adam, from the beginning of creation. That's why other groups, even if they're pagan and they have different religions, they all have some type of rules against murder and stealing and adultery. And this is because we all have these laws. We know when we're doing wrong. It takes so much effort to excuse away our sin. But we are trying in this insane nation to exchange God for another God. And it's not going to happen. And you cannot be on an island and by yourself. So reach out to those. Reach out to those that are faithful. Start making agreements now with other mature and faithful Christians to look out for one another in these times of trouble. Those people that are lukewarm will fall away. You will have people in your family and in your church. Some of them caved in on abortion. Then they caved in. Maybe it was the gay marriage thing. Now they're caving in on the transgenderism. It never stops. And they're just, their faith is destroyed. But that's because they never really knew Christ. And when persecution came, they loved themselves and their own reputation more than standing up for Christ. And that's what's happened to the churches. So judgment has come. And that's why we're going to see, we need to beg God for forgiveness. We need to repent for what we've done, and we need to love God and love his people. So until next week, when we meet again for worship and to look into God's word, I want to pray that everyone be blessed when they leave here today, that you leave with the spirit of peace, that you continue to prepare, that you love God, you love his people. Do not give in. Do not compromise. Do not apologize for being a Christian. Remember, everyone today is on the communist hit list for standing up against anything. So don't apologize for anything that's in the gospel. Learn the commands of Christ and teach them to people as judgment continues to fall. Amen. Lord Jesus, we ask you that you continue to guide us as your people. All of us, Lord, myself included, just pray for fellowship more than anything, Lord. Help us to form communities where people really love you. That's our main concern, Lord. Not a church building, not money for the ministry, but people that are committed, a remnant that we could have fellowship with, to go through these dark times. We pray, Lord, that you continue to keep your healing hand upon your people. We thank you, Lord, for this judgment that is separating the wheat and the chaff. And we pray, Lord, that you keep us faithful as well as our families through your Spirit. We ask this, Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.